I was just a child, and I've joined in on it as well, at least 1,000 times. Singing Jesus loves me is a precious memory. I remember when, just as I am, first brought me to my knees. But here I am, surrounded by some things I can't explain. But the truth is still the truth. In the moments my heart breaks, if I could see. That's raised in times like these may be the truest praise, because I've never been forsaken, and that will never change. And if I could sing it then, I can sing.
Okay, Genesis 20. Kiddos can take off. I'm hearing music. Anybody hear music?
I'm recording it. My dad's out.
Okay, well, you gotta now come sing it. I thought you ordered some pizza and it called you. Okay, Genesis 20. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this, open our eyes to the scriptures, help us to adopt many amazing attitudes of this man when we're dealing with others, and of course when we're dealing with thee. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is like an expository idea where we just read through it and throw questions at think about it, meditate on it. These stories in front of the Bible carry a lot of weight because it's like a foundation for history. When Abraham took the suggestion of Sarah about marrying Hagar, I highly doubt that he figured out that 3,500 years later, some Arabs are still going to be mad about that and hold that grudge. And, you know, you got the thing going on in Palestine, Palestinian. Julian, what are you doing here? I thought he had a twin. So who would have thought that? And in Genesis 20, there's a guy named Abimelech. And, of course, they would probably say Abimelech, something like that. He was either like a Palestinian or Arab or possibly an African, a black man. I'm not sure what his race is totally. But he's actually a very amazing individual. And so this storyline about him and Abraham, and the reason why the Lord put it in the Bible is because there's a connection with Jesus Christ, and that's the only reason he put it in the Bible, because of that. And so I want to point out some things about this man, and then you analyze how you deal with others, how you deal with God, and see if it falls in line with this fella. This Abimelech character. He's found, there's a high priest named Abimelech. He had a son named Abimelech. One of Gideon's 70 sons was one of his boys was named Abimelech. So it's kind of a name you got to look throughout the Bible. It's not like George Foreman, where he had five boys named George Jr., George III, George IV, George V, George VI. I mean, I think he had a girl named Georgette. And so, it's not like that. But we'll read down through it and see if the Spirit opens your eyes to some of the ideas. So, verse 1, it says, Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country. And if you just glance to the back, the two chapters before, what happened is Sodom and Gomorrah is blown off the map. And all the transgender folks, you know, they obviously lost their safe place. And so I have the sulfur from that event. And so Abraham says, man, I am getting out of here. And of course, the Lord told him when he was 75, take off, start sojourning. And that's what he's doing. And some of the places he, you know, maybe found a bed and breakfast and stayed around for a while. We got to stay in one bed and breakfast in the Netherlands. It was a ship. And there, a ship that was docked there. I think it's in one of these movies called Dunkirk. I think it's in that movie. It was a fun little experience. Okay, Abraham's journeying toward the south country, dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. Is that a true statement? It's a true statement, but Satan can use a true statement, or a person can use a true statement with the intent of a lie. She's my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, took Sarah, so he's now going to put her in the protocol to be one of his many wives. Okay, so amazing thing, a true statement can be a lie. And this devil's more subtle than any beast in the field. And so a lie is anything that is 0.1 to 0.99.9% true, but even truth with the wrong motive can become a lie. Okay, a lot of times we put these Bible characters on a pretty high pedestal, and we kind of think that they had, you know, a halo. These were flawed men, and in this case, Abraham and Sarah are very unique people. They are used as examples in all dispensations, amazing people. But Abraham's lying. He is a, how did Biden say, dog-faced pony liar or something like that. I forget how he said that one time. Of course, he's the guy that said De Palma says too, so who knows. Abraham is lying. To save his hide. He's afraid. These are the people of the Bible. They're no different than anybody else. Abimelech, unusual character. Okay, verse 3. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. How did God speak to these people? He spoke to them words. How did he give the words to them? In a dream. You'll find a cross-reference Numbers 12, verse 6. God spoke his words. That's how we communicate. Animals communicate by sounds. People, we communicate by words, even to the point where Jesus Christ is called the Word. Okay, now I know animals communicate by sound. Sometimes we men do that too, you know, a grunt or something like that. Okay, but God did not have written words for 2,500 years from Adam until Elihu wrote Job, and then Moses. Moses wrote about 1500 BC, Elihu maybe about 1700 BC, so 2300 years before written revelation. How did God speak to these people? Through dreams and visions. Okay, does that mean your dream or your vision might be God speaking to you? Might, but most of the time it's just bad pizza late at night. Okay, and so that's a possibility. But that's how he spoke to him. And notice Abimelech's not surprised. He's not surprised that God speaks to him. Sometimes college kids, educated kids, what about the heathen that never heard? And sometimes I'll smile and say, well, you're heathen and you've heard. And they don't appreciate the humor. And so I said, well, them heathen are smarter than you think they are. Because God reveals himself to them. And I'm not a Calvinist, but I do know that God has concern for every soul, and God is dealing with every single soul, okay? And there's ways that you know that he's dealt with a person. He works on them through the creation as one and through the conscience as the other. And there are outward evidences that God has witnessed to a person by their reaction to certain things. But here he is. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, okay, so how's God start this communication? He says, you're such a lovely man, and we just want to accept you for the way you are. He said, behold, thou art but a dead man, and you're dead. You're a dead man. That's a common saying when somebody's in deep trouble. You're dead. Man, you are dead. That's the first time the word dead is found in the Bible. You do have death and die found other places prior to this, but dead, you're a dead man. Pal, you're a dead man. Now, if God spoke to you that way, what would your reaction be? Most people would run away, never want to speak to him again. Maybe Abimelech, you know, I don't think he decided to call the NAACP and say that God was racist. He said, you're a dead man. And then God told him why. He said, you're a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she's a man's wife. The heathen know that adultery is a scarlet sin. How do they know that? How did he know that? Well, okay, how's his reaction going to be? How would a person react when they find something in the Bible that's negative, that's opposed to their viewpoint? A lot of people just throw it away. Forget it. It's an excuse. God is love. This God of love here is saying, you're a dead man, pal. And so Abimelech wants to know why he said that. So verse 4, Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she herself said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Notice he's appealing. He's appealing to God. With a humble spirit, a humble attitude. And God responded. God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Isn't God's interferences in our life wonderful? Oh, you know, a lot of times young people say, I can't get away with anything. That's because the Lord loves you. If we want to mess it up, if I want to mess it up royal, all God has to do is just stay silent and I can mess it up. Okay, and it's wonderful that God interferes with our sinful intentions. And so the Lord interfered. And then he said this, "Now therefore restore the man, his wife," no problem there, "for he is a prophet." What? You got lying prophets. You got a lying dog for a prophet. And what would most people do with that? They'd run away and say, "Oh, can you believe what they did in that church? Them lied people, they lied to me." And you take that excuse and go do what you want, because that's what you wanted to do anyway. He said, "He's a prophet, and he shall pray for thee." Why would I want a lying dog who could have caused my death? Why would I want him to pray for me? That's how most people would react, right? Him pray for me? No way, pal. I don't want your prayers. You know, I've had, the preacher, one preacher, Richler, says something every time I see him once in a great while. "Hey, brother, I'm praying for you." And I'm thinking, are you praying for me to die? Or are you praying for me? What are you praying? And I want to say, well, I need a prayer and you need to practice. But, the sense of humor is not really, people don't accept that a whole lot. Why would I want this guy to pray for me? This guy could have caused my death. And right now, I've got some wives that can't have children. We got people in this area can't have children because of this clown. And the Lord said, "For he is a prophet, he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live." Ooh, thou shalt live. You mean you're going to answer a lying dog's prayers? Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then he says, "And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." You're a dead man. Well, wouldn't that get somebody's attention? Now, what kind of a man is this? He's a prophet and he'll pray for me? I don't know about this. And the Lord said, "And you shall live." Oh, is that the criteria I got to comply with? That's right, son. That's right. So just think what he's thinking about through the night. His mind is just churning. And so verse 8, "Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham." So he had him on speed dial cell phone, And so he... See, now watch Abimelech's attitude. It's not one of accusation. It's not an emotional rage. You ever see these people go into emotional rage when something goes wrong? You're like a little kid, they skin their knee. I mean, once you get older, you skin your knee. The should go away by then. Watch his reaction. Abimelech, what I'm reading, he's trying to understand the behavior of this man. Why is this person doing this? So he throws out a question. "What hast thou done unto us? What have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast not done deeds unto me that thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." What a polite, nice way of rebuking somebody. "You ought not done this." I think normally it would be, "You dirty stinking," filling a few blanks in there. That's how the average Christian would do it. what a way to, "Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." What a polite character. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" What'd you see? Now watch Abraham. It's a typical fundamentalist apology. Basically like, "I'm sorry you misunderstood me because you're stupid and ignorant." Okay, watch Abraham. He's going to justify himself. Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. I see a man trying to justify himself. Well, I didn't really lie. She is my sister. Well, you didn't ask me when you bought that car that, you know, the knocking in the engine, I did put oil in it. It was 90 weight oil, but I did put oil in it. I mean, you know, lies, you know, they just got to, and you got to tell, you know, more and more. Hey, she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father and not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And Abimelech accepts this. What an individual. I would, you know, a lot of times you throw this great sign out, a lot of people, so-and-so's great, this guy's great, this guy's great. I would put Abimelech in that category. Abimelech the Great. Okay, so it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father. Now, Abraham is just throwing a bunch of words in there, and usually when people just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, they're trying to cover up because their conscience is killing them. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. Now there's no record of a conversation in the tent later on where maybe Sarah had a few words to say. Now, she does say in 1 Peter chapter 3 that she called Abraham Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting that, ladies. I'm not suggesting that. I mean, that Oriental culture is a different culture. It doesn't say anything that she said, you're supposed to die for me, pal. Nothing like that said. She complied. God intervened. Okay? And so then what does this Abimelech man do? Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. Now, I would understand restoring his wife, but to give a man gifts, wealthy gifts, a man who could have caused my death and has caused me problems, and the problems still aren't solved yet. Do you see this? I find this man amazing. Boy, if Christians would act like that. I find that fascinating. I mean, it's just amazing. Now watch this. Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. I think the average person would say, oh, you're sticking around town? Oh, okay, there's a bridge over there. Go sleep under that tonight. You get the best land, pal. You, prophet, you got to pray for me yet. And I'm expecting God to hear your prayer. I don't know why he should hear your prayers. I mean, well, this is amazing. And then, and unto Sarah he said, now watch how kind he is. And if you could see a video of it, I think it would go something like this. Behold, I have given thy brother, wink, wink, wink. I have given thy brother, you know, your brother, you know, wink, 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 wink. I mean, I would have thought he would have said more than that. He just says, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes and unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus was she reproved. Now, if that is not the kindest reproof I've ever seen in my life, I don't know what is. I mean, he said what he needed to say. He said it in a kind way. He got his point across. Amazing. Amazing person. No emotional tantrum. No, you know, it's like the average person when they, you know, get wrong, it's just, oh, they're going to harbor this for the rest of their life. And, oh, Abraham, Abimelech, he's like, okay, we'll deal with this. You know, why use a cannon when a BB gun will do? A lot of times when you're dealing with people. Okay, Okay, so 17, Abraham prayed unto God. God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Wow, what a character. Boy, if Christians could act like that. It's an amazing thing. I mean, this is not a little offense where, you know, you misgendered me. I can't believe that. I mean, Americans are so stinking soft. Preachers are so soft nowadays. He attacked my ministry. How did he attack your ministry? Did he come into your building and blow something up? I mean, that's what attacked me. Well, he said unkind words about me. Oh, boy. That's almost on the level of a paper cut. I mean, that's pretty high up there. I mean, how dare you say something like that? I mean, it's just people, it's just crazy. I mean, they murdered the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, we're not above our Lord. I mean, it's just something. But this Abimelech character just fascinates me. It's an amazing thing. Now, the storyline jumps to chapter 21, verse 22. And there's more said about this guy. We can pick up a lot of things here. And a lot of times, when people have grave offenses, the one who usually committed offense will throw the Bible in their face and say, you know, the Bible says forgive and forget. I don't remember reading that. For some reason, I don't remember reading that. It does say forgive. I don't remember that forget part. And I don't think that a person has to harbor something. But the principle, a general principle, it's not scripture, but it's kind of scriptural, is fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And this is what Abimelech's going to set up. This is what he's going to set up. Now, I know in Luke 17, the Lord told the apostles, if a guy sins against you seven times in a day, forgive him. But that says that that person comes back and asks forgiveness. And that means no excuses, no justification, absolute brokenness on their part. Okay, and that's kind of a necessity thing there. But if a person just keeps justifying themselves, it's about like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, I become an accomplice. So here's what Abimelech does. And he does it in an amazing, kind way. Verse 22, chapter 21, it came to pass that at that time Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. He's had some time to observe. He knows that he's a flawed individual. He knows that God is limited to using flawed people. I think there's only one person that lived a sinless life while on earth, and he had a very short, brief ministry, 3.5 years, and he was executed, crucified. And so Abimelech probably looked at himself, you know, I've wronged people, I've done things wrong, so I'm, you know, okay, I could see what's going on here with Abraham. And so then he says, I see that God's with you. I see, even though you're a flawed man, that God is blessing you in the Old Testament sense, materially, in the Old Testament sense. He's saying that. And then he says, now therefore swear unto me hereby God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me. He sets up a barrier, some boundaries. He puts a boundary there. Thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son. Boy, he's going to make sure it goes down the line. But according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. I think Ephesians 4:32 says something, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me or forgiven you. I think that's kind of, boy, this man is acting this out even before it was written in Scripture. He's like, Abe, he said, I want to make a deal with you. Don't you lie to me anymore. Swear. You see? And so Abraham said, I will swear. There we go. Now, right after he did that, watch what Abraham does. Abraham reproved Abimelech. Okay, how would you feel about that if somebody had really wronged you in a major way, caused a major problem, and then you make an agreement with them, okay, come on, we're not going to do this again, and then he turns around and reproves you. I would have a tough time with that. Who are you to tell me, Mr. Liar? Mr. My Sister? He reproved him. And to be honest with you, I believe that what he said was not done in the right fashion, Abraham. He charged him guilty without knowing all the facts. Okay, here's what Abraham did. Abraham reproved Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. I would say if Abraham had the spirit of Abimelech, here's how he would have said it. After this agreement, he said, I don't know if you know this, but there's a well that was taken away by your servants. It was violently taken away. You may not know this. I'm just letting you know what I know. And I want to ask, do you know anything about that? So you're not charging somebody guilty. You're throwing out what you have learned. And Abimelech, even though that's the way I would say Abraham should have said it. Because he charged him guilty without knowing all the facts. And we do this all the time with people. All the time. Did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, we got a prayer request. Thank you very much. Were you there? Did you see it? Do you have firsthand knowledge? Do you know the circumstances? Why don't you pray for that individual from the lack of knowledge that you do have? Okay, well, but notice Abimelech. Even though Abraham's accusation was guilt, Abimelech still listens. He listens to words. You might be surprised that God gives you words if you pay attention. It doesn't matter the source. It might even be your mother-in-law. Okay, but even at that, the Lord spoke to Balaam through the Democratic mascot, and he didn't listen to it. Josiah had the last great revival in Judah, and he got involved in it. He meddled with a battle he should not have, and God warned this man, Josiah, who were buddies with Jeremiah. He warned him, don't you get involved with this matter. You're meddling with God. But the person that said that to him was an Egyptian. He wasn't a Jewish person. He would not have been righteous. He was a pagan. And the Bible says that God spoke the word of the Lord through Necho, Pharaoh, and Josiah didn't pay attention. Listen to words that people say. Words are spirits with wings. And if you pay attention to the word, not the messenger, we don't care about that. If you considered the messenger every time you got a message, you wouldn't listen to anybody. Listen to the words. Ask the Lord to guide you, and you might be surprised where the words come from. Abimelech did not consider the messenger, Abraham, a liar. Who lied to him, could have been indirectly a murderer. Okay, if Abimelech hadn't responded. And here's Abimelech's response. Very gracious man. Abimelech said, I wot not who had done this thing. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. That's the first time I've heard of that. And don't you know he took care of it? So what Abraham? Abraham took sheep and oxen, gave them unto Abimelech. Both of them made a covenant, a friendship. Okay, there's a common saying, the first impression is the lasting impression. If Abimelech lived by that, would he have befriended Abraham? No way. Abimelech knew, that everybody's flawed. He knew that he might have caught somebody on a bad day. He knew that Abraham was afraid. And he knew that in his own life, when he's afraid, he does things he doesn't normally do. And that's how we are. That's how people are. We're flawed. Everybody's flawed. But we expect, the world expects perfection out of the believer. That's what they expect. Christians expect perfection out of the preacher. You know, fundamentalists.
Can you believe so-and-so don't believe this? Oh, that's terrible. Oh, he don't believe the same as you do.
Do you know what the unpardonable sin is? It's somebody disagreeing with me. That's how preachers are. It's just pathetic. What happened to the adage that 9 out of 10 ain't bad in basketball? That's pretty good. 9 out of 10 is good. Okay, but Abimelech, amazing. I don't know, I'm trying to build this man up because some of the character of this man is an amazing thing. So they have a friendship. He overlooked that they got off on the wrong foot. He overlooked that. He forgave that. He sees the big picture. You know, it's funny. The first time the word saint is found in the Bible, not the plural, but the singular. The first time the word saint is found in the Bible is found in Psalms. And it says, Aaron, meaning Moses' brother, Aaron the saint. And I think it says of God, the saint. That man, it was a part of the golden calf event. And God said, the saint. You mean a saint got involved with a golden calf and 3,000 people died? That's exactly what I'm saying. The Lord's amazing. He looks at things differently than we do. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. If we had to make the call as far as who's going to be king or not, I would say most of us would have kicked David out of the kingdom and Saul would have stayed in. But God kicked Saul out and David retained it, even to the point where Jesus is called the son of Abraham, the son of David. Man, it's amazing. Here we got a friendship now. Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? He said, teach me. I want to know. Teach me. You're a prophet. You're a lion dog prophet. You're a prophet. Okay? I mean, can you imagine that? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, and returned into the land of the Philistines. End of story. They have a friendship for life. And I, you know, if they got together later on, I would almost imagine Abimelech, maybe just for a joke, say, hey, remember the first time we met? And Abe says, yeah. Boy, oh boy, did I mess up. And then we had men learn from history that men don't learn from history, because Isaac did the same thing with Abimelech. I don't know if it was him or his son. You know, and, you know, just Act 2. Same thing. But I've tried to build up Abimelech to the way I understand the way he was and lived. I would say he had Christ-like qualities without knowing Christ. I would say he's an amazing individual. He was wrong, but he responded in a pretty gracious way when he was wrong. See, I'm not responsible for what people do to me. I am responsible for how I react. And when he was wrong, he just didn't forget it. He did put up some boundaries. And he's testing, and Abraham passed the test. They developed a friendship. I mean, if we live our lives a first impression, lasting impression, boy, what kind of friends would we have? I mean, that's something. Or if somebody wrongs me, can't we? I mean, you don't have to agree with me to experience my kindness? I mean, in fact, we should have our unique differences, even in beliefs, and should have grace towards others. That's what Romans 14 lays out for us. I see that this man's an amazing man, and I pray that you see that too, and you see some qualities that we need to emulate. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray. Thank you for this record that you gave of Abimelech. Thank you so much for his testimony. Was he righteous in your eyes? I have no idea. You talked to him. You spoke to him. He followed your wishes, even though the person he dealt with at the time, Abraham, I bet when Abraham reads that story in heaven, he's like, wow, wow, wow. Thank God for his mercy. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us recognize that you are limited to using flawed people. And I would dare say Abimelech lived Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I pray you'd help us be people like that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.